I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. This is episode 3 of the special podcast event series, Cinema Stories. Thank you for listening. Hope you're doing well. The anticipation is building to when we can go back to indoor movie theaters and have that indoor movie theater experience again. Warner Brothers just announced that Tenet is, as of this recording, moving to July 31st, 2 weeks later. So we got to wait a bit longer, but I'm still excited to get back. And I know my guest on this episode of Cinema Stories is excited as well. Good friend, colleague, film critic for KJYO-FM, Critics' Choice Association member. You can follow him on Twitter at JasonBlack23 and Instagram at FlickKicks23. And we'll get into why it's called that. Jason Black, what is up, man?
Jackson, it's great to see you, buddy. I miss seeing you. Of course, you know, we see each other like once, maybe twice a year. And I don't even know if those events are going to happen. But yeah, it's good to talk to you. Good to get caught up.
We see each other at the Critics' Choice Awards every January. One time it was in December out in California, sometimes at the Documentary Awards in Brooklyn. Yeah, I don't know if the award shows are going to happen. They're pushing the Oscars back, so that would push all the other award shows back. What do you think, first of all, about Tenet going to July 31? Are you surprised that Warner Brothers put in this two-week delay?
I'm not surprised. I anticipate more is probably going to get pushed back. It's weird because there's a certain sentiment that things are somewhat getting back to normal, even though people seem to be maybe ignoring some numbers. So you'd think there'd be more and more and more opening up. So does that mean theaters? I don't know. I just think that the next phase here, and I don't mean that in the phases of phase 1, 2, and 3 that the nation's going under, but when are we going to sit next to people at a movie theater, at a concert, even really at a restaurant? I just don't know when that's going to happen. So I'm not completely shocked by it.
Yeah, I'm not shocked either. I think they're buying time. They're bringing back Inception for its 10th anniversary to fill time for 2 weeks. One of the most mind-blowing, crazy, wild movies of all time to bring that back. I think they're just killing time. I was surprised Wonder Woman got pushed as far back as it did from August 14 to October 2. That, to me, that distance feels a little odd.
Yeah, well, I just wonder if they're looking at the calendar and they're just trying to fill dates and go, okay, there's nothing really at that October date. Let's grab it while we can before something else gets pushed back. I think that was the deal with the Fast and the Furious F9. I think literally they just said, forget it. We know that date's open in April next year. Let's just put it back there. So I think some of that's not necessarily, is it 2 weeks, is it 2 months or whatever? I think it really is literally like, let's just look at the calendar and see what sort of competition we could potentially have that weekend and own it.
You're in Oklahoma City. What is the vibe like? Are movie theaters, are some movie theaters open yet? Are the drive-ins any near you open yet? What is the overall vibe like in Oklahoma City?
Well, the vibe in Oklahoma City is always making it happen, Jackson. But overall, a lot has opened up. I actually think that our state was probably earlier than most states in trying to get things back to normal. Of course, we have a less population than a lot of other places. But there are some drive-ins that are open. Our friend Craig's movie, Vast of Night, played at the drive-in here.
Yes. There
may be some smaller theaters that are opening that are playing a few things. Like there's a one that we like, Rodeo, which is sort of downtown in the Stockyards. But there's no large theaters open at this point.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Our malls are still closed. Our multiplexes are still closed in upstate New York. The drive-ins are kicking butt. But I hope that the indoor movie theaters get open again soon. The last time I went to an indoor movie theater was March 12th to see Bloodshot. So
recently, I know, I saw that. I feel so bad for you.
Yeah, recently passed the 3-month mark. When was the last time you went to an indoor movie theater? What movie was it?
So the night, if you recall, this all started in Oklahoma City when the Utah Jazz came to town.
Oh, yeah.
And Rudy Gobert didn't come out, and it was on television. We were all watching the Thunder and wondering what in the world was happening. And come to find out, one of the Jazz players had COVID, and so they shut it down. And the NBA announced within, I want to say, an hour that everything shut down. It's being permanently, temporarily put on hold. So then that next day, I was that was a Wednesday night. On Thursday, I was almost having an anxiety attack. Like, what is going to happen? Are we never going to be able to do anything again? So I went to go see the Ben Affleck movie, The Way Back, which I don't know if that's good for an anxiety attack, but I actually really liked it, and I thought he was really good. But so I am somewhat proud to say that is the last movie I saw in a movie theater because it was a good one.
Yeah, good. Same day as me, but different movie, and yours was a much better film.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. You've got a family. You've got a couple of kids. What have the past 3 months been like? Have you been watching Trolls and Scoob at home and all kinds of these new movies coming to streaming services over the last 3 months?
We did. We watched Trolls World Tour, and we haven't watched Scoob, but they've been all in on Disney Plus, and they didn't even know what Artemis Fowl was. And, you know, after we watched it, I kind of wish we still didn't. But we watched that one. But yeah, they're ticking off those. My son actually yesterday discovered HBO Max and was blown away by everything that's on it. And so he was like making his own watch list. So yeah, we've been watching stuff, and we've even revisited some old stuff like that I want them to see. So we did Raiders of the Lost Ark a couple of days ago. So we're doing some stuff. We watched Goonies last night. We're doing some of the older stuff to get them reacquainted.
That's fun. That's fun. That's good. Now tell me about... Okay, so one of the things that you're really into as far as the going to the movies, the indoor movie theater experience, is wearing sneakers. And you've been posting them on your Instagram when you've been able to go to the movies. Have you missed that? Because I've missed seeing the photos of you wearing the sneakers and the methods behind which ones you choose.
Yeah, so I have missed it a little bit because I've gotten more shoes since, because there's been some good sales. But it is kind of hard sometimes to find the connection. So a little bit of background. I'm a Jordan guy, really. So I have a pretty decent Jordan collection. And so my idea was, hey, what if I just blended the two things that I love the most as far as pop culture goes? And that would be sports / Jordans and movies, and tried to find some sort of a connection there, with the complete goal to be getting free stuff, which I have not gotten yet. Okay, so, but sometimes you're trying to find, so what I want to do, for example, is, like when I saw Endgame, I wore the same shoes, the Air Jordan 13s, that Denzel wears in He Got Game. So it was like the He Got Games for Endgame. I try to find some sort of a connection. Sometimes it's a little loose, you know, it's sometimes it's like, I don't know if that's really a good connection, but we're going to try and run with it. But yeah, I've missed it. Cause I've got some new ones. I don't know if I should just post some pictures of, like, you know, the TV with the title card and me, my shoes up on the couch. You know, I don't know. We may have to bring it back, Jax.
Okay. Okay. But yeah, I miss seeing those. I hope you bring it back in some way. And one of the things on your Twitter is that you say you want to just sit in the front row. So as far as thinking back to going to the movies, is it always about sitting in the front row for you, or where is...
No. So my Twitter bio is, and you'll appreciate this, is a reference to after the Critics' Choice Awards one year. It was actually the TV Awards, which you didn't come to. I didn't get to see you this time. I don't know what you were doing. But our buddy Craig and I wore our tuxedos, and then afterward got tickets to the Comedy Store. And because we were wearing tuxes at the Comedy Store, they sat us in the front row, and Craig and I are not real big drinkers, so we ordered coffee because you have to have a 2-drink minimum. And this comic, Kirk Fox, got up on the stage, looked down at us, and goes, hey, sometimes you want to sit in the front row, wear tuxedos, and drink coffee. So that's my Twitter bio. So that's what that means.
Okay, that's a great story. Yeah, the Critics' Choice Awards over the last several years, it went from movie and TV separate awards to combining them, and we changed networks, and we didn't change networks, and all of that. That's funny. That's a good story. So
I hate the front row. No, I never want to sit in the front row at a movie. I actually have studied. There's the Dolby Theater here in Oklahoma City. I have studied that. I know either row E or F, I shouldn't give this away, is where it is, the sound is optimized for either one of those rows. And I know this because I've studied the speakers, I've sat in different rows. So if I can sit in E or F in the middle, that's ideal for the Dolby. Otherwise, I'm a pretty much, I like to sit right in the middle. There are occasions where I sit in the back row because, and Craig gives me a hard time about this, but every movie we go to, I swear the person behind me is kicking my seat and it drives me nuts. And they're probably not. It's just a thing in my head. So if I sit on that back row, I don't have to worry about that. But that's not typical. That's just every now and again. And I know I just sound like a grumpy old guy, but that's just, you know, I want to be comfortable.
No, you're not that old, Jason. You're not that old. Okay. I don't know about sitting in the very back row. I've done it a couple of times, but I don't know. I'm seeing too many faces. I'm seeing too many cell phones. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah. No, that's right. No, you're right. You're right. That can be an issue. Cell phones are definitely an issue.
But you think people are kicking the seat in the back, not just little kids?
Not just little kids, no. And I'm sure it's some sort of psychological issue that I have. I'm sure it's probably just my heart pounding, making the seat kick. I don't know. But something's happening behind me at all movies.
In your decades of movie-going experiences, what are some of the wild, crazy, wacky things that you remember? You go to a lot of critic screenings, and you've done some of the junkets and premieres and things over the years. What are some of the wildest things that you remember from going to the movies?
You know, the one of the wildest things that happened is that since we're in Oklahoma, we're Tornado Alley. And so my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, we went to go see an X-Men movie. And I want to say it was, I don't even remember which X-Men movie it was. But anyway, and I'll date myself if I say it. But anyway, in the middle of it, a siren started going off, but that could be something that would happen in an X-Men movie, right? So we didn't think anything of it at the time, but then we realized, oh no, a tornado is bearing down on the movie theater. So they made us all get out, and we went into the food court, and they said, hey, everyone stay here, don't leave. We looked up, the food court is covered in glass, and we said, no, this is the worst idea anyone's ever heard.
Right.
So we ran to the parking lot and then got home. But that was one where it was like, we really thought it was part of the movie. We really didn't think that it was a tornado coming to town, but it absolutely was. As far as like anything really crazy happening, you know, I don't know that there's any real like, oh, these people got in a fight or whatever. I did, when we saw the movie Alpha Dog, you remember the Justin Timberlake movie?
my gosh.
That was about people selling drugs. And so there were a lot of people reacting whenever they showed like a lot of drugs on screen. There were people going like, yeah, or, you know, or getting real fired up. And so then a guy yelled at another guy like, hey, I'm trying to watch the movie. And he was like, well, I don't, you know, and there were some words that were shared. And so that was one where I was like, oh boy, how's this going to turn out? But then JT came out and calmed everybody down. So just being on the screen. Yeah. But then otherwise, when you go to these screenings, and I don't know if you have the same thing that happens with you, but there's pretty good amount of security. So not a lot of can go down. But when we saw Lion King, the new one, the live action one, this guy next to me, every time there was a song, pulled his cell phone out and started recording. And you know, part of me is like, oh, what do I care? And then a part of me is like, well, but see, this is, if this goes down, then they're going to go, don't screen in Oklahoma City anymore because blah, blah, blah. Mm. I also didn't want to be the guy that got up and went and got security and kind of dimed this guy out, you know? So he got up to go to the bathroom, and I ran down to there's always a rep from the studio there at these movies. Mm. And I said, hey, there's a guy recording. But don't let him know that I told you. And I ran back and sat down before he got back from the bathroom. And then they came and got him and escorted him out. So that was, wow. I felt like I was doing my social justice for movies.
You did because Disney is so strict when it comes to anything. They would not want any, even though it's old Lion King songs sung new, they would not want anything out there in advance. So you did do the right thing, Jason.
Yeah, well, it's selfishly because I just want to keep seeing Disney movies ahead of time. But yeah, I mean, I do have somewhat loyalty to Disney also.
Yeah, and now we're seeing Disney movies ahead of time on Disney Plus with the screen.
I know. It's a good time.
I never thought we would come to the day where I'm sitting in my house watching a Walt Disney Pictures film in advance. The one studio you think would be so secretive and want to hold everything is now basically through Disney Plus screening. It's crazy. Now, yeah, right. I've always thought about, because you're in Oklahoma City, you know, tornadoes can pop up at any time. I mean, you have to sort of adjust your schedule.
Well, there's a season. It's not necessarily every day. I mean, it does run April, May, sort of into June. But There are definitely times where you're going, oh, please, 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 not Tuesday. That's when we're seeing Iron Man 3 or what, you know, I mean, that does happen to where you do sort of start to look, because May is, that's now when the summer season starts and you don't want to miss anything. And so, yeah, I can't think of a movie, though, that it's completely affected to where something got canceled. But that is in the back of your mind around here. That could happen.
Mm. Now, one of the, Jason Black is my guest right now on Cinema Stories, Critics' Choice Association member. One of the things that you got to do over the past year is you got to experience some of these special Critics' Choice screening events and things around the country. One of them being The Irishman. And I, you know, one of the most anticipated movies in years. I can only imagine what that was like for you to see The Irishman. Was it at Grauman's Chinese Theater?
You talk about a theater going experience. I mean, we had no idea. And I know you don't want me to say this, but my bone to pick with you is that you don't ever come to these deals with me. But anyway, we're gonna continue that off the air here. But yeah, so The Irishman, we saw that at the Chinese Theater, which just to even see that in its run would be amazing, especially on premiere night. And that was one of those where when we went, you think to yourself, gosh, are we going to get to, you know, I mean, I know Scorsese, I know De Niro, I know they're here. I know that they're walking the carpet or they're, you know, are we going to get to see them? Do we watch it with them? What happens? And so before the movie, I look over at the aisle and I see this kind of like a fedora. I said, you know what? I think that's Harvey Keitel. And then you start to see another little head pop up and you're like, that's Scorsese. That's Pacino. I mean, it's the whole cast, Ray Romano, you know, the whole cast. And then they all came out and introduced the movie to us. And just to see that, you're looking at that, I was thinking about all the characters that they played and not even in Scorsese movies, but just over the years. I mean, you're sitting there like, I'm looking at Michael Corleone. I'm looking at the Wolf, you know, these guys. And just for them to be all in one room together that I got to sit in too, was pretty amazing. So yeah, that was a really cool experience.
Yeah, these guys you've watched in movie theaters on screens for so long, and all of a sudden they're right near you. And then the other part of it is we get to go to the Critics' Choice Awards. We get to meet a lot of these celebrities, talk with them, take pictures with them. It's so nice. And then afterwards, and the years later, watch them in new movies that come out. And only I sort of have in the back of my mind, you know, every time I see Hugh Jackman in a movie, I think about the night when I sung with him for Les Mis at Critics' Choice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you have those similar things after meeting somebody at Critics' Choice and then watching their movies afterwards?
Absolutely. And not only that, they win me over too, where I start to actively root for certain people. Like Ben Affleck, the year that Argo was there, which was maybe, was that the year before you joined or was that?
No, that was the first year. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Cause that was the Hugh Jackman year too.
Yeah.
And I can't tell my Hugh Jackman story, but it's great. But you meet these guys. Hugh Jackman was great. But Affleck, talking to him and just not even really talking about Argo, just sort of talking to him just about being a real person and, like, you know, proud of what he did and him being so humble. It really does make you root for him, even just as a person. You want to see their movies do well, but then you start to see things about personal lives and you go, gosh, I mean, that's my guy. I know I met him one time, but I want to see him do well. I want to see him get back on track. So absolutely. And you know, you and I have a similar run-in with a certain celebrity that we don't particularly like. And it makes me not root for her. Sorry about your cooking show on the Cooking Channel, but, you know, it's not one that I'm going to watch.
She who shall remain nameless.
I don't want to call anybody out. I'm not saying that she has a cooking show with her husband on the Cooking Channel. I'm just saying, I don't want to name names.
But it is, you know, it is so cool to be able to do what we do and to get to go to the Critics' Choice Awards. I hope it happens this year again, but I understand based on the circumstances, if it doesn't happen, if it just ends up being us voting and still getting the movies, but a press release or a show, it's where we are.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if it maybe gets pushed back, or maybe it's not in person this year, or you talk about the glad handing and we get to meet people. You know, that just may not happen this year. It may just be you got to keep your distance, and because that is half the fun, just being able to have those personal stories. And you know, you never want to annoy anybody, but it was fun talking to Jason Sudeikis this year, the day the Chiefs came back and beat the Titans, and he's wearing Chiefs socks, you know, because he's from Kansas City, and just, and he's a Jordan guy. I was wearing my Jordans this year, and he has worn Jordans on the red carpet for the Golden Globes, and I think he told me the Emmys, but he looked down and goes, oh, Jordan 13s, that's cool. He knew exactly what they were. And so it's just cool to have those interactions. There's nothing to even do with movies. Just like we're talking about being real people, just our interests, similar likes. It's fun. But this year, you know, maybe we don't get to shake a hand like you normally would. Maybe it's just yell at them from across the table, or maybe not. But whatever it is, listen, the run's been great. You'll never hear me complain. So whatever we get to do from here on out, it's all gravy to me.
Hey, yeah. Oh, man. And that was the first year, the January 2013, when Ben Affleck won Best Director. I still remember that moment. I still think it's in terms of the shows that the Critics' Choice Association has put on over the years on TV. I still think it's the number one moment since I've been involved, because it was such a surprise.
Well, that's what, when he got up, and remember, that was the day, that day was the same day that the Oscar nominations came out. Yeah. So they were announced that morning. He didn't get Best Director nominated. Then he wins Best Director with Us. He gets up and says, yeah, this is the one you really want, which I loved it. Because everyone, it's fun. He's having fun with this. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, you know, as proud as you can be, I'm one vote, and you don't want to be overly dramatic about it. But I will say that when Affleck won that and got up and accepted it, I thought to myself, you know what, we got it right. I respect the Academy. And I love the Oscars, and I watch it every year, and I don't really care who wins and who loses. But I thought to myself, we got it right. No matter what happens at the Oscars, he can't win. We're the ones that made the right decision here. So, yeah. I think that's good.
Yes, yes. I remember seeing Argo, and I remember, and I said this on TV when I named it the best film of 2012, it was the only film that year where my heart was pounding. Like, you know, I really got into it. I really got into the buildup of it. Do you remember that experience of seeing Argo and what you were going through as you were watching that film?
Absolutely. That was one of the things that really stood out to me, was when they get on the plane and you're waiting for that ding. I think I haven't seen it in a while, but I think that's what he says, like, hey, as soon as we hear that ding, or, you know, we know that we're all good. We're in international airspace. And I remember there being a sense of pride when that scene happens, like, wow, we pulled that off, you know, as in the United States pulled that off. Now, Canada was a big help to us, and we want to make sure that we, you know, shout them out. But yeah, there was definitely a sense of pride, like, man, we did it. This is great. You know, and that's what I was telling Affleck. I said, I'm just proud of you for making that movie. You did it. What a great accomplishment.
Yeah. Yeah. Jason Black, what is one of the earliest experiences you remember having of going to the movies and sort of inspired you to become a film critic and get into this? For me, as I've told many people over the years, Lizzie McGuire movie was the first one.
Don't forget, I did an episode of Lizzie McGuire. That's another pod.
That's right.
I told you this. Yeah,
that's,
I told you.
Years ago, but refresh our memories, and to the new listeners out there, what did you do for Lizzie McGuire?
There's an episode. Now, listen, you've seen all the episodes. I think that's one of your corners. But that in SpongeBob, right?
Yeah.
I did an episode where the brother gets a credit card and he wants to make a movie. And so I'm the boom operator for the movie that he's made, or whatever he's doing. Uh-huh. And I'm in it quite a bit. It's on. You can watch all those episodes. I found them. There's a website you can watch them, and I found my episode. We'll have to screenshot it.
Yeah, we'll screenshot it. We'll put it up, yeah. And they might be on Disney Plus at this point, too, but I know YouTube.
Oh, yeah, I guess they could be. I haven't looked. We should look at that.
Yeah. But that's amazing. That's awesome that you were a part of a show that influenced me. What was one of the movies that influenced you growing up that made you want to get into all this?
You know, I'll tell you, I have flashes of a first memory of the very first movie I ever went to. My uncle took me to see 101 Dalmatians, and I was probably, I don't know, 5 or 6. But I have flashes of a memory, okay? Now, of course, that could be just because my mom told me and I've made it up in my head, much like the people kicking my seat. But I remember seeing Rudy and that being an inspiration to even think to myself, you know, if you want to be involved in entertainment, you're going to need to immerse yourself in entertainment. Because in the movie Rudy, his deal is, well, if I want to play for Notre Dame, I need to go there. And he ends up going to Holy Cross and then transferring. But it's just, I need to be a part of it. And so I had that thought, and I was in, well, we don't want to date ourselves, but you said earlier, I'm not old, so let's just keep it that way. But I was fairly young, and I remember thinking that and having that be somewhat of a plan. Now, I went and did some acting and some stand-up for a year in Los Angeles. This is when I was on Lizzie McGuire. And by the way, as an extra, like, let's not make it more than it was. But when I came back, I had worked in radio previously. I never thought about doing movie reviews necessarily, but I had worked at the radio station, and my buddy is the morning show guy, and said, well, hey, since you have these stories from being on Friends and being on Lizzie McGuire, would you come on and just tell the stories? And then what we'll also do is review whatever's coming out that Friday. And if I can get you into movies, would you do that? And I'm thinking, like, well, I mean, you really have to ask. So that's when all that started. So I wouldn't say it was necessarily ever a plan for me to review, but I definitely wanted to be part of entertainment in some way. And this is what's manifested out of that.
Interesting. When were you on Friends?
So I'm on the one where, oh, okay. Well, the first episode I was on was the one where Monica gets a bad review in the paper for her restaurant. Mm. And so she finds out that the person that wrote the review is also a cooking teacher and does a cooking class. So she goes down with Joey and says, let's go in there and I'm going to tell her off. But then what ends up happening is she sits there for the class and then knows all the answers. And so she's just excited that she knows all the answers. And so at the end of the episode, when they're leaving, they walk past an acting class. And she goes, hey, Joey, do you want to go in there and look like you're smart? And the teacher says, who can tell me the difference between upstage and downstage? And then Joey looks at her and goes, no, because he obviously doesn't know the answer. And then they walk off. Well, so I'm in the acting class at the very end. And so the good story about that is, again, just an extra, not a big deal, but it was Friends. And this is the height of Friends, okay? Mm-hmm. This is, like, you know, crazy. And so when they were running through it, they said, all right, guys, the guy's going to ask the question. You guys just sit there. Don't do anything. And I said, oh, okay. But I said, listen, but wouldn't we, and I wasn't trying to be obnoxious, but I said, wouldn't we, like, you know, look at each other or kind of like shrug or, you know, like sort of act like we don't know the answer. And the guy looks at me and goes, you know what? You just do whatever it is you think you should do. Okay. So now when you watch the scene, they ask the question, who knows the difference between upstage and downstage? Everybody in the class looks at each other and I'm front row center. And I just sat there completely motionless.
Friends, HBO Max, the phenomenon, and yeah, you're a part of it.
Then the other episode was when Rachel has her baby. She's in the hospital. It might have been the season premiere. I honestly can't remember. But she has her baby, and I'm one of the nurses in the hospital, and I'm taking flowers, just wandering around.
But I think this should inspire you to try to get involved in whatever Friends reunion ends up happening, because you need to. You could moderate it, Jason. You could be a part of it.
Well, so, you know, I don't know if we should say this, but at the Critics' Choice Awards, you know, Jennifer Aniston's untouchable. You can't go up to her. You can't talk to her. So when she was married to Justin Theroux, who I actually really like and am a big fan of, he was walking out to the bar or something, and I happened to walk past him, and I go, hey, Justin, what's up? And I said, hey, by the way, did two episodes of Friends. He goes, oh, well, let me go tell Jen. What's your name? I go, no, she's not going to know who I am. She has no idea. And let's just not bother her. So we left that alone.
Yeah, I think she was. She nominated for Cake that year, I think, for Best Actress. Yes.
Yeah, that might have been the Cake year. I can't.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't, because we're going to go too deep here. I want to say Theroux might have been nominated for Leftovers, and she was there with him.
Interesting.
I could be wrong. Who? Yeah. I can't get this stuff straight.
That's all right. Have you watched Jen on the morning show yet?
I did. I watched, we got that preview for Apple TV Plus, and I did watch, I think, like the first three episodes. I haven't watched the rest of it. I know you've been a proponent of it, but I just haven't watched the rest of it. And I didn't think it was, I thought it looked great. I thought it was pretty good. I just haven't watched it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's worth it. It's worth it. Pass. I didn't love the first three, but once you get past them, it goes yeah. And it's good. Yeah. So what do you think, Jason? Honestly, the future of the movie going experience. What do you think when you walk into the theater to see, maybe it's Tenet, maybe it's the Russell Crowe movie Unhinged? What do you think that first experience is going to be like? Obviously, it's going to be odd. It's going to be weird. It's going to be different. I'm going to feel those things. What are you expecting when you walk into that theater?
You know, have you ever sprained your ankle and then you walk around gingerly and you give it a few days and you go, you know, it feels okay. But, and somebody goes, let's go play basketball. And you go, like, okay. And you're just, even though it doesn't hurt, you're like, I just don't know if I really want to push off on this ankle. I think that's the way I'm going to feel about a movie theater. They may say it's okay. We may have a vaccine at that point. I have no idea. But I just feel like I'm going to be so hyper aware about, I probably won't get any popcorn, which, you know, it sucks me in every time. Every time I go to the theater, I go, I'm not going to get popcorn tonight. I end up getting it. So would I get food? You know, I don't know. Will I put my arms on the armrest? You know, I don't know. Who's sitting next to me? I hate to say it, but I'm going to be so hyper aware. I hope that I can even just relax and watch the movie. So I don't believe this. Guys, this is the new normal. I just can't see that being the case. At some point, we're going to all be able to get back together and sit next to each other and hug and shake hands. And I just got to think that that's going to be the case at some point. But those first few times, it's going to be, I don't know if I want to push up on that ankle. You know, that's just the way I feel about it. But hopefully, if things smooth out and you start to do it more and more, it'll get easier to do, I'm hoping.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that through these past couple months, the animation studios have recognized that families are all at home. And so putting Trolls and putting Scoob and the Willoughbys on Netflix and all of those. As of this recording, the SpongeBob movie is supposed to come out in theaters in August. Sony's got an animated movie called Connected in October. Pixar Soul is coming in November. Do you feel comfortable bringing the kids at least right away? Because I'm not sure if parents would say, yeah, let's bring the kids in this environment right away.
Yeah, it's a good question. So if it was today, I probably wouldn't. But who knows by the time August hits what's going to happen. I don't even know. You know, you just asked me about going back to the theater. I was talking to my guys at the morning show, and I said, look, if they started doing screenings in July, I know you guys aren't pressuring me to go and have reviews, but I don't know if I'm going to go or not. And I want to go. I really do. I want to go to a movie. I want to go see something. I prefer the theater to at home. Home is more convenient sometimes, but yeah, I don't know. I would probably hold off with the kids, especially because the kids don't know as much about release dates like we do. I can probably convince them that when Soul hits Disney Plus, that this is the premiere and they would maybe never know the difference. So it's possible I could hold off and pull that off. But yeah, if it were today, I wouldn't. But August, September, who knows? I might take them.
In upstate New York, it's me and just a few other critics, but as part of your Oklahoma Film Critics Circle, you know, looking at your website, how many, you got 30, 40? How many members do you have?
Yeah, we've got 20-something members. Craig Sanger is the president. I'm the former president. I'm currently the secretary treasurer, if you want to know the balance sheet. But we've got 20-something members, but that's for the entire state. So some of that's Tulsa. But yeah, you know, I know just because I'm friends with some of those guys and even just through social media, I know a lot of them are itching to get back. And I know one of our guys, our vice president, Jeff Houston up in Tulsa, he has been to the theater. They've got a really cool theater up in Tulsa called the Circle Cinema. And it's an independent movie theater. And I think he saw Jurassic Park this last weekend. So he's going and people are going.
But what's interesting, the number of film critics that are part of it and where you are is, okay, if they start up these critics screenings again, and they're going to limit the number of seats and they're going to limit the number of people that can go and the number of audience members that come in, I feel like that could start up some things and people understand that there's fewer seats, but at the same time get upset if they can't get into a certain screening of a movie in advance.
Yeah, that's true. I would hope that at least for the critic side of it, we could spread out enough and that wouldn't be a big deal. But, you know, usually you see it with a crowd, which enhances the experience, right? It's part of the reason we want to see it in the theater. We want to see the reactions from other people. And if they limit that, yeah, it's going to be tough. They have to turn people away a lot of times anyway, especially for the bigger movies. So it's going to be tough to try and get everybody in a theater. They may not do that. The screenings may just be critics. They may not have people in there. I don't know.
Hmm. I went to a screening of Yesterday, the Danny Boyle movie, last summer. It was actually a real Crown Club one at one of the malls near me. And I had a couple reserved seats, was rushing from doing something. They saved me seats, which was great. I come in about a half hour before it starts. The room is already filled, and there's a line downstairs, because this was upstairs. There's a line downstairs. The rep tells me afterwards, we had to turn 180 people away.
So the one that I remember was the original Iron Man. There was a line. Now, of course, nobody knows what I'm talking about because you don't know what the theater looks like. But there was a line out the front door all the way down the street to this Starbucks, which is like across the street for that original Iron Man. And I don't even know how many people they turned away. But that's the benchmark that I always reference with. I had never seen a fervor for a movie like that as a pre-screening. And remember, this is when we didn't know if Marvel was going to work or they, I think Avengers was maybe even a glimmer in their eye, you know?
Right.
I've never seen that many people lined up for a movie before.
Yeah. Iron Man was the one that kicked it all off. It was the sudden phenomenon, the resurgence of Robert Downey Jr.'s career. And yet people were still really excited for it. I remember there's a standalone Regal the multiplex near me, not attached to the mall. And the one I always tell people, because it's rare for that theater to fill up in a room, but the one I remember is opening night of Paul Blart Mall Cop. Every seat was filled. And I laughed so hard during Paul Blart Mall Cop because it was something we hadn't seen before. But I remember that is the one. Oh, do you disagree on that, Jason? I'm looking at your
face. No, I don't really care either way. I just think I didn't know that there would ever be a real cinema discussion that would involve Paul Blart Mall Cop, but I guess it's been a real benchmark to you.
Hey, listen, yeah. Now I remember speaking of Iron Man, Paramount, one of their other big franchises over the years is the Transformers series.
Yeah.
I was in Chicago when they did a screening of Transformers 3, Dark of the Moon, and the movie was filmed in Chicago. And so in the room is the late Roger Ebert and his wife, Richard Roper, Michael Phillips. Paramount had some issues that night. They had to change the room, the auditorium, to show the movie. They had to kick families out of Cars 2 to go into one of the rooms. Yeah, to go into one of the rooms. And then they couldn't get the key in to open to get the code. So all of us are sitting there for 45 minutes, 50 minutes, an hour before Transformers 3 finally starts. Everybody's just going crazy. And then the next day, the movie opens. So all these print critics had to get their reviews up like so right away. And it was a night I'll never forget being in there, that experience, because it was just nuts. It was.
That's not well, yeah, and also because Cars 2. I mean, you probably didn't want to see people not see that. It's one of your favorites.
I stood there because I got there early enough because I'd never been to Chicago before. I'd never been to that theater before. I wanted to know where I was going. I was there early enough, so there was me and a couple other critics who stood outside the door of the auditorium when the theater manager had tickets to give the families as they were walking out the door of Cars 2, saying, "Here you go. Here's a free pass to come back. Here's a free pass to come back." Was the weirdest feeling in the world. Bad.
Yeah, that there is, and I don't know how much your listeners can appreciate this, but there is a little bit of a sense being a critic and getting a little bit of special treatment. That's like, look, I don't necessarily want anyone to feel like, you know, I'm better than they are. I get to sit in this roped off section. That's never the sense that you want, because seeing it with an audience really is something that's important, and for the good or the bad, it's influenced my reviews before. But yeah, that's happened to me before, where people are trying to get into the critics section, and the reps telling them no, they go, what about that guy? And they go, well, he's a critic, sir, you know. And I'm kind of waving like, I'm just sitting. But yeah, it does happen sometimes where it can be a bit awkward, especially for a packed out one, when the critics section is not full, but there's 50 people trying to get in, you know?
Right, right. And they're wondering, why the heck are these still reserved? And then the movie starts and they're still, you know, reserved off. And yeah, that is weird. Yes, we have, over the years, Jason and I have had a bit of a back and forth on the Cars franchise. of
Pixar.
Do you remember? I remember where I was when I saw Cars, the first Cars, for the first time. Where were you, and what did you think of the first Cars the first time you sat through it?
Well, it was a morning screening, and I don't know why that would have been for an animated movie, but it was a morning screening, and it was critics only. And the first thing I thought about it was just how long it was. I couldn't believe that an animated movie would be this long. I think now, you know, I mean, look, we could go through like Good Dinosaur, and there's probably some others. There was another Pixar movie that came out not long, it doesn't matter. My line to you is the only Pixar movie that's worse than Cars is Cars 2. I think it's inarguable. It's just not a good movie. It's not good. And Cars 2 is unwatchable.
That is so not true.
Have you ever seen the movie Doc Hollywood, Jackson? That may predate you. It's a Michael J. Fox movie.
No, I've not seen it. I know of it, but I've not seen it, no.
It's the same plot. It's just Doc Hollywood is Cars. It's the same story. You should go check it out. You'd love it.
Now, what about Cars 3?
Well, so Cars 3, I actually thought was pretty good, even though I recognize it's not. But I thought it was pretty good. The whole plot line that in the middle of a race, you can just say, hey, this car is going to race for me now, is also just inarguably stupid. But overall, I think I probably had the Cars franchise, I had the best time watching Cars 3. It might also be the runtime for that one may be the shortest also. That may be why that is.
Yes, I think Cars 3 is the shortest of the three. But, hey, I was so excited. I remember my morning screening of Cars 2, and I was so excited. And I like Cars 2 a lot. I respect it a lot. But I knew it wasn't as good as 1. And then I saw 3 in New York City at a screening during the week. Yeah. I was able to go down. And I like Cars 3. It's my least favorite of the three, but I realized that Cars 3 was the Cars 2 everyone thought they wanted, because everybody sort of expected, oh, it'd just be more about racing, and then Cars 2 ended up being just, you know, Mater spy stuff. But
I didn't want a Cars 2 at all, so I don't know what that plot should have been.
Gosh, Jason, I don't know. We will never agree on that, but
no, we won't. We will not, because I'm not coming around on it. I actually think, you know what, Jackson, I think more people are on my side of this. Merchandising wise, Cars is maybe the biggest. So I get why they made it, but I really do believe more people are on my side. When we're ranking Pixar movies, it's Cars is bottom half, no question.
For you, it is, but yeah, I mean, so many people put the first Toy Story. You see, I don't think the first Toy Story is one of my favorite Pixars. In fact, I would put Toy Story, the original, towards the bottom, simply because there have been so many other Pixar movies since that have risen above it in terms of emotional depth and complex story and things like that. But are you one of those who still thinks that the original Toy Story is the number one?
No. I don't think it's number one, but I wouldn't put it at the bottom. My favorite, gosh, it's hard to, I think Pixar is so great. And you know, one, this is actually a discussion I've wanted to have with you for a while is, you know, like, you don't like Inside Out, right?
I thought it was good, not great. Good, not great.
So I think it's arguable that it's the best Pixar movie. I wouldn't argue either way. I'm just saying, like, if someone said that, I wouldn't say, no, you're wrong. But you know what I think the deal is? I know you don't like to hear people talk to you about your age, but you know what I think the thing is for Inside Out for you is that I think you are too young, and I don't think it's because you don't get it. I've seen the stuff you've written about it. It's because you're not old enough to not have a childhood. And what I mean by that is, when I saw Inside Out, I thought, oh, this is going to wreck me because I'm a dad, okay? And I'm going to watch this and think, oh, my kids are sad or whatever, and I don't want my kids to be sad. But that's not the experience I had. The experience I had was thinking about my own childhood and mourning that part of it and being able to go, you know, gosh, the Bing Bong scene. I mean, like, as stupid as it sounds to even say that sentence. But that part, to me, is maybe the most, aside from the opening of Up, the most emotional thing that Pixar has ever done. And then you know, we could probably put the Onward scene, which I won't ruin because it's newer. I think that you, when even now, you're a young kid, and play, take that as a compliment, because I'm not young. You just haven't lived long enough to know that there are things about your childhood you're going to miss. Now, I know that's a real absolute statement to make, and it's not fair for me to say that to you. But it's still too fresh, because 10 years ago to me seems like not that long ago. But 20 years ago, 25, it seems like it's a lifetime ago. And if you just haven't lived long enough to have those experiences, it's harder, I think, to be able to see that movie and see more of the emotion of what it's trying to get across.
I respect your opinion completely. I understand that as a father and for what you've experienced long time ago and having kids, I get the emotional aspect. Yeah, Inside Out is a good film. I understand where the bing bong emotion is coming from, because that is a moving scene. But at the same time, I mean, Jason, I won the New York Emmy 10 years ago. I think about that. That came about a month or two ago, and I go, wow, things have kind of gone by like that. I mean, there have been a lot of things in my life, you know, that happened a long time ago that I still look back on and remember all kinds of things. You have lived longer, but I've also, you know, experienced a lot of crazy things, and I've had a lot of things happen. And maybe, you know, maybe at different points in my life, I think different points in your life, different movies hit you in different ways. I do truly believe in that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I have a personal connection to certain movies, whether it's the Mary Poppins films or others, that at certain times they just get you.
You saw it at a certain time, it hits you, there's nostalgia to it, absolutely.
And sure. I think that's what I get from what you're saying about Inside Out as well. Maybe if I check it out in another 20 years, I'll get different aspects of it. Yeah. The Pixar ones, I you know, I love the studio. I think it's great. I think Wall-E's just the one that never fully got me, and The Good Dinosaur as well. Wall-E, to me, when I see that as number one on some people's lists, I go, ooh, it's good, but it's not, I don't think, the emotional powerhouse that a lot of others say it is.
Yeah, I love Wall-E. I really do. It's hard to pick. It really is hard for me to pick, because the majority of them, I think, are just great. I for a while there, Pixar was on another level for me as far as a studio goes, especially in animation. But I think Disney got the belt there for a few years, because if you look at what Disney was doing with Frozen and Wreck-It Ralph and even like Big Hero 6, I mean, and that I don't even necessarily mean if you like those movies or not, but just in terms of box office and what they've meant just in pop culture.
The awards and yes, all of that.
Tangled is probably my favorite animated Disney movie. And I'm talking like from the classics on.
Really?
Yeah. So I think Disney took the belt. I know Pixar is owned by Disney, but for the most part, I think Pixar is pretty infallible. I think they're just another level of what they're doing with animation.
Yeah. And you know, it's amazing what we remember of experiences of seeing even films that we may not have thought were meant for us, but ended up being for us. And a lot of animated movies, I think, have done that for a lot of people, you know, adults who used to just see them as cartoons, and then look at what these studios have done. Look at what they've done for families. Look at what they've done for older people over the last 20, 30 years.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons that I like Pixar so much, is because I really think that they try and explore what's something that hasn't been done. Yeah, I mean, for them to put the first, however long it is, of Up in an animated feature of a couple going through, you know, I mean, miscarriage and death. And I mean, it took a lot of guts for them to do that. And it's just something that I can't think of another studio that would have done it. And then they go, okay, what else have we not done? Well, we haven't done anything about a robot, let's make Wall-E, you know. So then they make that, and then they go, and then they kind of missed on Good Dinosaur, you know. So it's just interesting to me that they don't, even though they've done sequels and they have some franchises, I think they've done a really good job whenever they start a new franchise of exploring something new with that, that's not like anything else that they've done, or and not like anything else that's ever been done with Disney or DreamWorks or anything else. I think they've really, really done an amazing job with that.
And And look at what has happened since everybody's been home over these last few months is ABC says, we're bringing back Wonderful World of Disney, and we're going to let families watch Up and Toy Story 3 and for Disney Animation, Big Hero 6 and Moana on ABC in prime time. And they're doing well because families need content to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've loved it. I mean, we've loved, and it's so funny how the movies we've watched on TV that we have the DVD for it, or it's on Disney Plus that we can dial up any time, but it's like, oh no, it's on. Let's watch it. Turn it on. It's starting right now. Let's watch it. It's funny how, I don't know what it is about that broadcast that makes you feel, I guess it's going back to what this whole thing is about. And that's the communal experience of watching a movie with each other. If we can't all sit in a theater together, maybe we can all watch the same movie at the same time at home. Mm-hmm. And it's not physically together, but we're still sort of all doing it at the same time. And maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. You know, because now studios have come up with these hashtag watch party. Like there was a Trolls watch party, try to watch it at the same time. But of course, if you're trying to watch the movie, I don't know if you should really be tweeting at the same time.
But well, those commercials.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But, you know, for the new streaming movies, but I get it for the network shows too.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, there is something about just being together. And you hope that this whole being together in a theater thing happens again. I don't expect 3D glasses to be part of the equation right away because
I'm fine with that.
Fine with that too. Gosh, I'm so fine with that. And I think the whole germ factor of it, you know, is just, the possibilities of that are nuts. But I do get it. I hope it happens again. I hope we get to have critics screenings again. I hope we get to, you know, see each other at the award shows again and do all of that. I hope we get back to it very soon. That's why I'm doing this Cinema Stories podcast. It's kind of the buildup, the anticipation to returning to what we've been doing for a long, long time.
Well, I'm glad you're doing it, Jackson. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you. Jason Black, you are a great friend, a great colleague, one of the funniest people I know. And thank you for being a part of this Cinema Stories episode. And again, follow Jason on Twitter at JasonBlack23, Insta at FlickKicks23. We'll get that revived. We will get it back.
I'm going to go put some on right now and take a picture of me watching whatever's coming up next.
Whatever's coming up next. Hey, you stay safe, you and the family, everybody in Oklahoma City. Stay well, and we'll talk to you real soon. Thank you so much.
All right, you got it.
I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. Thank you for listening to this episode of Cinema Stories. We'll be back with another episode very soon. For more, go to lcj.podbean.com. Follow me on Twitter at lcjreviews, Instagram at lightscamjackson, and the website is lights-camera-jackson.com.